Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text comes from Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, the one who is more than enough. Amen. Interestingly enough, the NLT translation, the New Living Translation, translates verse 25 as, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, whether you have enough. Oh, that's convenient. That's what we're going to talk about today. Continuing our sermon series, From Fear to Faith. Last week we talked about fear of disappointing God and how that can cripple us and prevent us from being used by Him and going into despair and all sorts of bad things that will hurt our walk with God. But yet how God's message of forgiveness and grace frees us from the guilt and the shame and empowers us even with courage then to live for Him, knowing that the net of grace is there to catch us when we stumble. Today we talk about the fear of not having enough. And just like all the other fears we've been looking at, this fear is fed by our culture. It's fed by what's happening around us. And just like all these other fears, it depends on what we focus on. Focusing on our faith and what God says are our fears and what they say to us. But we live in a society that's always telling us we don't have enough. We don't have enough possessions. We don't have enough toys. When we're younger, maybe when we're older, we get more expensive toys. We don't have enough friends. We don't have enough people that know us. We don't have enough success. We don't have enough good plans for the future. We don't have enough things for our kids or our grandkids. We gotta have it, we gotta see it, we gotta experience it. Or else you're missing up. Missing up or missing out. For example, you can wake up, feel that you don't have enough energy, you feel that you don't have enough health to get through the day. You look in the mirror and you feel that you don't look good enough. You don't like the clothes that you have. And you go shopping in the mall and there's an endless chain of stores that tell you you don't have enough. You need this to be happy. And the student goes to school and thinks he's not smart enough. He doesn't look good enough. He's not athletic enough. Or we hear our kids cry or grandkids cry and they tell us they don't have enough. We look at where we live and wonder if we're safe enough. And we hear everything that's happening in the government and on the news. We look at our bank account and we wonder if we have enough. By the time we're done with our day, we get to our night and we feel we haven't had enough rest. And since we're so tired, we don't have enough time to have a devotion. Maybe we go to sleep wondering if we have enough time and energy for tomorrow. There's a lot of reasons why we worry about not having enough. We're talking about the material needs. This is what Jesus is focusing on in Matthew 6. There's various reasons we can have this fear. We can be trying to please people, living up to their standards and expectations. We can try to live up to culture's expectations of what we should be like and what we should have. We can live by feelings. I think we only need that which makes us happy, which makes us feel good. We can feel that we need to be in control of our lives. So I make a list of what I need, what I want, what I'm supposed to do for the day. And God's just kind of there to bless me on my plans to call upon when I get an emergency, or when I need help. But I think really, the biggest problem is we simply have too small of a view of God. Too small of a view. I'll give you an example. This last week, I got to spend time with my brother from Norway again, his two kids, 4-year-old and 2-year-old. Oh man. Kids ever complain about not having enough? Yeah, they do, same way. It's amazing how happy they can be when they get a toy, but then how quickly it can turn to, oh, but I want that. Oh, now I need that. If they don't get it, they come to Waterworks, crying and screaming, oh my goodness, I've never heard such a scream. It's true. Not to scare anybody. With kids, there's never enough. We were in the Mall of America. We went to the Legoland. Pretty cool place. There's all these different things you can see and Legos you can build. I think it was just a lot of fun, right? The moment they go into the store, they instantly zero on the favorite toy that, you know. The 4-year-old went for the doll. The whole Legos, and then that. Another 2-year-old went for the car, Legos. They just stood there and they grabbed it off the shelf and looked at the dad. Yes? Can we have it? It took about several minutes for them just staring at their dad, wondering when he would actually buy them what they, of course, needed. They could not live without it. Which is ironic, because right after that, if they did buy it, then they'd find something else that they couldn't live without, and that they needed. Small view of their parents, isn't it? Why can't the kids just trust their parents that parents love them, know what they need? I'm going to give it to them. Instead, it's very easy for the kids to think, as parents, they don't really get it. I know what I need. I need those Legos. I need that toy that my brother has. It looks really cool. Looks good to the eyes. Makes you feel good. So sometimes even as parents, you can break down. I'm not a parent, but I see it, right? People break down. They don't want to hear the complaining. So it's just, oh, just give them what they want. Make them happy. The kids, there's not enough, nothing. As God's kids, we don't feel that we ever have enough. I'm just amazed constantly. Whenever I'm with kids, there's a lot of parallels between parents and children and God the Father and us. His children. Don't we often look to God like that? I know you want me to do this, but I really need to do this. I know you want me to go there, but I just need to stay here where it's safe. But you want to talk to me, you want me to go talk to that person, but I don't really want to. It won't make me feel good. I know you want me to think this way and have that attitude, but it's too much work. It's a lot easier to just be negative with other people. I know you want me to forgive, but it's a lot easier to just hold this grudge, I think. I didn't really deserve it. Boy, I really need that to be happy. I really need that extra money. I really need that extra friend. I really need that extra favorite possession, whatever it is. We stand there and we wait for God to answer us. Or maybe we just say, oh, that's it. I'm just going to figure this out. God, you're taking too long. So we try to be the provider and set our plans and set our schedules. I wonder why we get so stressed. Where's the peace and the joy? Kids like games, right? We played some of the games with the kids while they were here. One of the games we played was a match game, right? You have to match the letter with the animal. It starts with that letter. So one of the kids, Ethan, he would put together these cards. There's one of them he was getting stuck with. He said, come figure it out. It's a hippo. It starts with H, right? He couldn't figure it out. He kept going for the T, right? He kept doing it over and over and over. Little did he know, maybe he did know, that his dad was right there who knew the answer. But he didn't want to listen to his dad. Eventually his dad even said, hey, you're putting it in the wrong spot. It goes with the H. And he said, no, it doesn't go with the H. Hippo was T. It was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I must be mistaken. You're right. Keep trying. It didn't work. Still didn't work. Small view of the parent. We end up living our lives with more frustration and problems. Because all the while we're forgetting the solution to our problems is already standing right there with us. One who's bigger than them all, the one who really knows what we need and knows a lot more than we do, is already with us. Lilies and birds, they don't worry about anything. God clothes them. Amazing splendor. Takes care of them. Psalm 65 talks about how God takes care of his creation. The river of God never runs out. He waters valleys, establishes the mountains, stills the seas. His tracks overflow with abundance in his wagons. God is so much bigger than we think. So one of the things we remember today is that God is much bigger than our problems. He's much bigger than our worries. He's with us amidst it. He's just waiting for us to seek his name so that he can lead us in the right way. So he can lead us in the way of life. Free from worry. It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that before this in this chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. What's the line in the Lord's Prayer that talks about God's provision? Give us this day our daily bread, right? That's why we have the story from Exodus. In the Old Testament, where God provided miraculously this manna from heaven, this daily bread for the Israelites as they were wandering through this desert. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. God gives us what we need for today. And only today. Why do you think the Israelites wanted to keep some of the manna and gather twice as much? Well, then I don't have to go out. Yeah, then we can just store it up and then we'll be fine, right? Why do you think God only gave them enough bread for one day? It's because he wanted them to look to him for his provision every day. They would know every day it was God who was providing them and giving them what they need. The same reason the reason the Israelites doubted was the reason why we doubt. They had a small view of God. We forgot his wonders that he did in bringing them out of the slavery in Egypt, out of the superpower of Pharaoh and drowning all of his army in the Red Sea and parting the waters that he walked through and dry ground. If they had remembered that, God would have questioned if God could give them some food. Because of what God had done in the past, you can trust what God will do in the future. They had the Lord, the Almighty One, the Savior, the Deliverer with them. Disciples worried too. But not having enough. Remember the story of the 5,000? It's actually only 5,000 men. It was probably 15,000 women and children altogether. Jesus was, and the disciples were in a remote place. It was getting late. They wanted food. The disciples said, "No, we don't have enough. Send them away. It's too late." Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." So they counted, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 loaves. Okay. Let's see how many fish we have. 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait. No, I counted that one twice. 3, 7. Okay. 5 loaves, 2 fish. We don't have enough. Is that the way Jesus counts? Often only looking at our own things that we have that we can see. And by that, we don't have enough. We're looking at the one that we can't see. We find we always have enough. Why can we trust God with our daily bread? It's because we trust him with our very lives. God who delivered us from sin. God who delivered us from the devil. Who bore our sins on the cross. All of our grumblings, all of our sin. All of our lack of faith. All of that. Worrying that he was never be enough. And that we don't need him. And that we need to be in control of our lives. He took it all to the cross. Suffered and died for it. And he rose again. A God who conquered the grave itself is big enough to handle all of our petty problems about what to eat, about how much money we need, about what to wear, about having enough for the body. A God who is willing to give his own life for us. Lay that down. Certainly willing to give us a piece of bread for the day. Paul says in Romans, if God is for us, who could be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Don't seek first the kingdom of wealth. Don't seek first the kingdom of health. Don't seek first the kingdom of popularity. Don't seek first the kingdom of safety. Seek first the kingdom. Look at what you can't see. Jesus who is with you. Jesus that promises you to give you what you need. And all those other things that we worry about fall in place. And all those other things we stress about, we have to put in God's hands. Or do you not have enough today? So don't worry about what you don't have enough of. Look to the God was able to give you more than enough for the body, especially for your soul, for everlasting life. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.